Should open your Bible, please, to the book of John. I want to thank Brother Charlie and the church and all of y'all. Just been so kind and gracious. Good food, good fellowship. It's a wonderful blessing to be here for me and to be able to enjoy this meeting. John chapter 19, and we'll look at verse number 13. John 19, verse 13, where the Bible said, "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and set him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." Our Heavenly Father, we love you today, and we thank you for the good singing, the good preaching, the fellowship around the Word of God today. I ask you, Lord, to bless this portion of Scripture that we've read to the hearts of your people. Help your unworthy servant. Give me what I need to preach. Speak in every heart. Save that that's lost. Deal with that one that's cold and indifferent, and draw them back unto thee. And what you do, Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to preach for just a few minutes this morning on the old rugged cross. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. I mean, He left the celestial throne. He put aside His resplendent glory, and He came to this old world of sin and shame and sorrow. And in due course, neighbor, those who He came to lead led Him to a place called Calvary. And there the Scripture said that they crucified Him. And the earth that He had made became so contrite that it quaked and trembled, and the rocks were rent, and the sun failed to shine. His hour had come. Prince Emmanuel, the crown prince of glory, rejected, reviled, refused, and nailed to a Roman cross. And He made no protest, neighbor. He accepted the judgment as if it were His very own. And by willing substitution, He is led as a lamb to the slaughter. He despised the shame of the cross. He despised the disgrace of the cross. But He went without the cap, bearing the reproach. I'll tell you, the weight of the cross pressed down upon His weary body. But the reproach of the cross broke His precious heart. But you know what, neighbor? He did that because He had such love for sinners like you and me. That love that He had for hell-bound sinners far outweighed the reproach and the heavy cross that He bore. So He went on to Calvary
His face set like a flint. No turning back. No stopping short. He went to dark Calvary, neighbor. Listen, to bleed and die for you and I. Two or three faults and I'll be through. Let's notice, first of all, of the meaning of the old rugged cross. Of the meaning. There are several phrases in the Scriptures which are very very similar in their meaning. There's the phrase, the death of Christ. The phrase, the blood of Christ. The phrase, the Lamb of God. Which taketh away the sin of the world, Christ and Him crucified. Each of these phrases, neighbor, has in the heart of it a definition of what the old rugged cross really means. And then, if you'll put together some of the great words that you'll find in the writings of Paul, words like propitiation, words like reconciliation, words like redemption, words like justification. In each of these words, neighbor, has in the heart of it a definition of what the old rugged cross means. Christ crucified means He gave up heaven and suffered our hell that we might miss hell and go to heaven. Amen. Listen, all truth is centered in Him, neighbor. But He went to the old rugged cross for those who were filled with error and lies and the deceit of sin. In Him is centered all light. But He went to the cross for those in darkness of sin. In Him is centered all wisdom. Yet He went to the cross for those that are steeped in the ignorance of sin. In Him is centered all life. Yet He went to the cross for those who are dead in trespasses and in sin. In Him is centered all holiness. Yet He went to the cross for those that are trapped in sin's iniquity and sin's impurity. I'll tell you, in Him is centered all power and all love, all life, all wisdom, all power, amen, all holiness, all love. I'll tell you, sinners in Him, but yet He gave Himself to the cross for the untruthful, for the darkened, for the dead, for the weak, for the unholy, for the unlovely. And if by the grace of God, neighbor, we can get a glimpse of that, we can begin to understand a little bit about what the old rugged cross means. Amen. But did you know what, neighbor? That night long ago, in February 1965, at an old-fashioned revival, I didn't know anything about reconciliation. I didn't know anything about what it meant to be redeemed. I didn't know anything, brother, about justification. The only thing I knew was I had a longing down in my heart to know the Lord. I wanted to get that burden of sin off of me. Hallelujah. Oh, you know what? Listen, a good man of God, an old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled preacher man, stood up and he preached to me the cross. Amen. He preached Calvary. He didn't try to tell me what it meant in the Greek and the Hebrew. He didn't try to use a lot of man's wisdom. He just preached what the Word of God said. And brother, he told me about a cross. Amen. I'll tell you what it meant to me that night. It was like throwing out a lifeline to somebody drowning. Listen, I admit, brother, when I was going down for the last time, I admit somebody was there to rescue me. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Listen, it meant that that burden of sin was rolled away. It meant having peace in my heart where there was once only turmoil. It meant having joy where there was only doom and gloom. Hallelujah. Hey, it meant having some victory down in my heart. I'll tell you, that night, I went to that church to please my wife. We had not been married long, and I went to please her. I wasn't looking for God, but He is looking for me, son. Amen. I bless the Lord. And son, I tell you, when I got to that church that night, and they started singing, and they started preaching, God began to get a hold of my heart. Thank God. I got under conviction, but I didn't know what conviction was. I didn't know anything about that. But down the aisle I came, and where I got born again of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I couldn't tell you what it all meant in theology, but I knew hell had moved out, and heaven moved in. Amen. Woo! Oh, the glory of Christ and Him crucified. Oh, the glory of Him giving up His glory. Oh, the honor of Him surrendering His honor. The reputation of Him, Him giving up His reputation so that you and I, brother, could have a reputation. We live in a time when men seek after glory. Men seek honor and the sickening selfishness of all of that. But I'll tell you this, neighbor, there's a higher honor than seeking glory or seeking honor. There's a deeper honor than grasping after honor. Amen. And that is the glory of His sacrificial spirit, which gave up His glory, gave up His honor for your sake and for my sake. We follow Him through the gate, outside the camp, and the surging crowd presses on to the top of the hill, and brother, they crucify Him there, and we stand and gaze upon that diabolical deed, and we listen as He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Somebody said, preacher, how can God forgive an old sinner? How can God do that? How can God be merciful without being unjust? Amen. In judicial law, when a judge becomes merciful, he ceases to be just. And the minute he becomes just, he ceases to be merciful. Amen. The only way, maybe for a just God to be merciful, the only way a just God can forgive all sinners is by severing us from our sin, by making us a new creature. Hallelujah. By taking away our guilt and our shame and our transgression. I'll tell you, son, I slept like a baby that night. I didn't have to worry about that old sin and iniquity. Thank God it was gold. Amen. Yes, me, why I'm happy? I'll tell you why. My sin is gold. Amen. We hear Him cry, my God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Forsaken by the Father, the first time in eternity. He's forsaken by the Father. And the Bible said He's tasting death for every man. Listen, death to the soul is separation from God. I want to tell you, whatever else hell is, but it's plenty, amen. It's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where the fire never goes out, amen. Where the torment is forever and ever. Whatever else hell is, and it's plenty. But I'll tell you the primary thing about it is it's a separation from God, neighbor. But that night long ago, I came to Him by faith, and I received Him as my Savior, and instantly, thank God, I was reconciled to God. Hey, I was brought into a relationship with God because of the work of the cross. And now, I won't have to taste that separating death. I was reconciled to God. Amen. I'll tell you, I will never have to taste eternal death when a child of God faces a physical death, neighbor. He's just rolling over the tide. That child of God finds out it ain't the end. It's the beginning. Hallelujah. It's goodbye world and hello heaven. Amen. Paul said, my departure's at hand. That word departure is a nautical term. And it carries the meaning of lifting anchor and spreading sail and sailing for home. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Show me a spot in this old world where the old rugged cross is not touched. And I'll tell you, there will be no happy homes. There'll be no Christian mamas, no Christian daddies, no Christian children. But because of that old rugged cross and what it means, we can have a happy home on this side and a reunion with family and friends on the other side.
Praise God. The meaning. And then notice the motive. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John said in verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I'll tell you, neighbor, linked by cords that cannot be phantomed, the love of the Father and the lifting up of the Son, and the motive behind that old rugged cross is the love of the Father, neighbor. There's never been a mortal man that could fully comprehend the rich, red, royal love that our Father had for us, that far-reaching love that reaches out to all humanity. Notice the divinity of His love. It said, for God so loved. I'll tell you, there's so much wrapped up in that little two-letter word, so, that the human tongue could never fully describe it, neighbor. Listen, this love of God's an unsought love. Amen. That's right. Unsought. I thought about that old that scripture over there in Luke 15 where it tells about that sheep that went astray. That sheep that was lost. And it talks about the shepherd, thank God, that went seeking that sheep. Listen, that sheep wasn't looking for the shepherd. The shepherd was looking for him, neighbor. But listen, the shepherd went after him. And I thought about when I was on my way
stumbling toward hell, lost and undone, sinking further and further into sin's misery. Thank God the shepherd sought me. Hey, he came to seek me. Hallelujah. When the world was not loving God, when you and I were not loving God, I'll tell you, all I loved was my sin. Amen. And then myself. I loved myself and I loved my sin. But hey, the Holy Bible said this. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Hallelujah. And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I'm glad that Jesus came to seek and save. Unsought. I wasn't looking for it, was you? It was unselfish. This love of God, the unselfish neighbor. An unselfish love is a love that's willing to sacrifice. Amen. It's a love that'll sacrifice. I thought about how a husband that loves his wife and children he's willing to sacrifice for them, to give up what he wants, give up what makes him comfortable, to see that the needs of his wife and children are met. How could anyone ever doubt the love of God? We're there at Calvary, neighbor. He unselfishly would not hold back the diadem of heaven, but He gave His Son to the cross. It's unbiased love. Don't matter which side of the railroad track you're born on. Don't matter who you are, what your name is. There's a lady called me one time, several years ago now, and she said, we're doing a book on the Nix family, and said, we want to put you in it. She said, we want a picture of you and your wife and children. And she said, we're going to include you in this Nick's book. And she began to ask me questions about my family. And I told her my grandpa's name. And I told her my grandmother's name. They had a bunch of, or my great-grandpa, my great-grandfather on the Nix side. He was a German. But listen, my great-great-grandmother, her name was Matilda. And I always wondered why it was John Nix and Matilda Bowers. I never did. I mean, I didn't understand that. They had a whole bunch of young'uns. But listen, when we started making the search, we found out that they never had gotten married. They wasn't married. I mean, that woman was just bragging about me, you know, being a preacher and all that, and how they wanted to put us in that book. But when she found that out, she didn't want to put us in the book anymore. She didn't want to add us in there. We'd have put a little stain on it, you know. But I thought about that night, Brother Wilson, down yonder at Dalton, Georgia, at the 11th Avenue Baptist Church, when they gave the invitation. I came down the aisle. They didn't anybody stand up and say, wait a minute, now who's your daddy? Who's your mama? Where'd you come from? Which side of the track was you born on? What's your pedigree? No, hallelujah. Nobody said nothing like that. And hey, when I found out that my name got wrote down in the book, wow! Hey, it wasn't the book she was talking about, but my name's in the book today. Hey, God wasn't interested. and all that mess. Hey, you know, in that Old Testament economy, when somebody'd come in there, it might be an old drunk, it might be an old sorry man comes in there to make a sacrifice. It might be a harlot that comes in there to make a sacrifice for their sin. You know, that priest, he don't even look at them. He don't look at them. He pays them no mind. The only thing he's looking at is that sacrifice. The only thing he's wanting to see is that sacrifice acceptable. And that night at the 11th Avenue Baptist Church, God didn't look at me. He didn't look at my background. He didn't look at all that. He just looked at the ruby red blood on the mercy seat. And so the sacrifice was all right. Amen.
But that makes me want to just clear me off a little spot and have a spell. I used to get happy and I'd run like old brother Tim was doing a while ago, but I can't do that no more. I got a real bad knee and I can't run. This left knee just drives me crazy. It don't hurt too bad going downstairs, but I mean going upstairs, but going down, it feels just like an ice pick under that kneecap there. And I was complaining about it, and my wife said, it's just old age. I said, it ain't neither. No, sir. This right leg's the same age, and it don't hurt a speck. That rules that out. Amen. I told her it's just something inherited or something. Hey, thank God. His love is unbiased. He don't look at who you are, what you are. You come repenting of your sin, son. The good grace of God will dip that washcloth in the blood, and He'll just give you a good washing. It's unblemished love. It ain't never going to tarnish. Amen. It ain't never going to turn cold. It ain't never going to walk out on you. Jeremiah said, He hath loved us with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. You know how long everlasting is? Everlasting. Hallelujah. Woo! Not only the divinity of that love, notice the depth of that love. The deepest love that's ever entered into the mind of man, of the love of God. I'll tell you, it's deeper than all our sins. Isaiah said, come, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And though your sin be like scarlet, and they shall be white as snow. And though they be like crimson, and they shall be as wool. I'll tell you, dear neighbor, there's somebody right here today probably. Your past may be filled with failure and misery. But I want you to listen. God's interested in right now. Amen. And if you'll bring that misspent life to Him, brother, He'll cleanse you and He'll put you back together. Amen. The old nursery rhyme said, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. I almost did. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Listen, Adam, our father Adam, in him, listen, all humanity had a great fall, neighbor. Humanity fell through the federal head of the human race, Adam. When he fell, listen, we all went down with him. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. You know that's right, neighbor. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put it back together. But thank God the king can. The king, the king, the king can put it back together. Hey, he can take that broken life. He can take that broken heart. He can mend it. But put it back together again. Woo, glory. Notice the display of this love. On that old rugged cross, neighbor, the greatest display of love the world has ever known. I'll tell you, the heart of God is laid bare at Calvary, neighbor. Laid bare for all the world to see. Listen, that love that He had for all mankind. He don't want anyone to perish. He don't want you to perish today if you're not saved. He don't want you to go to that hell where there's gnashing of teeth. And where the worm doth not, I'll tell you the greatest display the world has ever seen, the greatest display of love. Neither angel nor man had ever witnessed such a display of love. When the crowned Prince of Glory laid aside His kingly garments, took a cruel Roman cross on His shoulder, and went to Calvary, the just for the unjust. Amen. Nowhere but in the Holy Scriptures can you find a story like that, neighbor. Find a love like that. Let me move to the last thing and I'll close with this. The meaning, the motive, and then the message. The message of the cross. I'm glad I got a message to preach. Amen. Aren't you glad to... Ain't you glad, son? Ain't you glad you got a message? Amen.
Amen.
Son, it never grows old either. Right. Hey, it don't never get outdated. Amen. Right. Amen. I remember my Uncle J.N. He worked in the copper mines up yonder in East Tennessee. And he'd come stay with us sometimes on the weekend. He had an old harmony guitar. An old harmony guitar with a string for a strap. Just an old string. And every evening after supper when Uncle J.N. was there, he'd go out there and sit on the porch in an old straight back chair, sort of kick back against the wall. And he'd start playing that guitar. And I'd go and get down between his legs. And I can, hey, just like that, I can remember my Uncle J.N. singing, "Tell me the old, old story." Hallelujah. Just tell me the story of Jesus and His love. Out of work, weren't it, Simray? Hey, they tried all this newfangled stuff, all this psychology and all this seminar stuff. Don't work. Preaching on the cross. Preaching on the cross. Amen. Hey. Boy, I love it. Don't never get tired of it. Let me tell you about this message of the cross. It's a preaching message. Amen. I like preaching, don't you? Hey, I'm addicted to preaching. I love preaching. Amen. I like short preaching. I like long preaching. I like soft preaching. I like loud preaching. I'm partial to loud preaching though. But I like it. I like it when they're digging up my role. Hey, man, you might preach me to the altar, but you ain't going to preach me out. Hallelujah. Thank God. Brother, I got in. And listen, the first word in the Bible is in, and the last word in the Bible is amen. I'm in, amen. Preaching by the foolishness of preaching.
Yeah.
Amen. I like preaching. Ain't nothing on the top side of this planet like preaching. Amen. I'm glad we got a message to preach. I'm glad, son, that it's the same. I'm preaching the same message from the same book that my grandpa preached from up yonder in North Georgia, rode a mule, preaching them little churches. I'm preaching the same message, the same book he preached. Woo! Preaching. Preach, preacher, preach. Two kinds of preachers make me want to preach. Them that can and them that can't. I like preaching. Hallelujah. It's a preaching message. It's a simple message, neighbor. The old-timey preachers that I come up under, they preached Jesus and Him crucified. Most of them, they didn't have it all lined up. They didn't have it all straightened out about all them toes and all them horns and all that. They didn't have all that straightened out. Most of them preachers I grew up under, they worked in sawmills. They cut pulp wood. They'd drive an old beat up truck to church. They'd get out with a pair of pants on and a white shirt and a necktie. They didn't know what having Hearts After Mark suit was all about. They didn't drive Cadillacs and Lincolns, brother. But I'll guarantee you, son, they knew how to pray. They knew how to get a hold of God. Amen. And they didn't have much of an outline, but they had a hotline. Hallelujah. Woo! I can remember as a little boy sitting on the front bench when my feet wouldn't even touch the floor. I can remember sitting there and hearing old Henry Oimby. He was bald-headed, real red-faced, and he'd come down the aisle like this. He'd grab that britches leg, put that hand over his ear, and son, he'd preach Calvary. He'd preach hell hot. He'd preach heaven sweet. Somebody coming through there one time asked Brother Henry, said, are there any premillennialists in this area? He thought a minute. He said, well, I don't know. But he said, there's some Presbyterians over there at Carter. I'm not glorifying ignorance. I ain't got nothing against nobody getting a good education. I believe everybody ought to have a good education. Don't you, Brother Tim? Like me. Hey, I'm a doctor twice. Yeah. There at the church, they got my name on the desk and it says doctor. Just because just because we're sort of backward and we don't have, you know, we don't do it like a lot of them do. But I'll tell you one thing, son, we ain't stupid. Amen. We know where it comes from. I know where to go. But when I get called indifferent and when I get up to preach and I ain't got nothing and when I try to get something from God and I can't get nothing, I know where to go. Amen. I first started preaching. I'm pastoring the first church I ever pastored when I was 23 years old. I'm the pastor there now. I've been there about 3 or 4 months, and boy, I'm having the time. And so when I went there before, I was as ignorant. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know Schofield had a note. I didn't know Thompson had a chain. I didn't know none of that. All I knew was that God moved and answered to prayer. Had me a stump across the creek behind our house. I had me a stump where I went to pray. Amen. Somebody asked my boy the other day, said, you ever been to your daddy's praying ground with him? He said, no, but I know he's got one. Okay. I got to hurry up. Lord have mercy. Y'all like preaching? I am having a time, Brother Jack. I'm happy as a dead pig in the sunshine, whatever that means. Hey, Jack, I like it when God just dumps that honey bucket out down through and it just runs down through the crib. Boy, I mean, woo! I like it! I like it! Hallelujah! It's a simple message. Amen. Just tell how the Lamb of God took away my sin. Amen. It's a strong message. Brother Calvin, it's a strong message. This message we got. Listen, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, he said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. That's where the power comes from. Thank God for preaching. Preaching that cross has the powers to break the fetters of sin and set free the captive. Amen. Amen. I read about a revival that's going on in Scotland back when they had that big revival come through there. And boy, there's up there preaching. The man of God was preaching, and a woman was sitting back there. She was so burdened for her son. She wanted him to be saved so bad. She didn't even know where he was. Hadn't heard from him in months. And she got under such a burden while the preachers were preaching. She come down and fell on the altar and began to cry out to God for that boy. About the time the service was winding down, a preacher was fixing to give an invitation. She stood up, dried her eyes, and looked back through the congregation, and lo and behold, her son had come in and was standing against the wall back there. And she said, Jamie, come to God, son. Come to God. And old Jamie was crying. His face, he dropped his face and he said, Mama, I would, except for these chains of sin. I would, except for these chains of sin. And old Mama, Mama said, Jamie, come, chains and all. Just come, chains and all. You don't have to worry about getting good enough. You don't have to worry about quitting this or that. You just come, chains and all, and He'll take care of it. He can break them fetters.
It's a strong message.
Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So that's what got me that night, Calvin. That's what got me. That power of God was there in that service. Here's a... Hey. Come here, I want to tell you something. This is a secret. I got saved in a Southern Baptist church. My wife had been attending that church, and she kept on wanting me to go. Said, boy, you'll love it. Said, they got good saying and good preaching. Said, please come. I wouldn't go. But finally, I gave in, and I went with her over to that church. And boy, a big old three-aisle church. There's probably 400 or 500 people there. And we sat down over here on this side about two-thirds of the way back. And listen, boy, they cranked it up forevermore. I mean, they got to singing, and the glory of God fell. I didn't know what it was. I was sitting there bug-eyed. I mean, some idiot, some nut, grabbed the flag and started running around the church with a flag, and everybody just went wild. One old boy jumped up, had an altar like this. All the record. One old boy jumped up on the altar, took his coat off, and started doing this number. Amen. Song leader and the pastor was up here, and there's a big there's a pot of flowers on one side of that. They had a thing on these, and there's a pot of flowers here and a pot of flowers there. Preacher was standing over here, and about both of them thought of it at the same time, I guess. One of them grabbed one pot of flowers and done like that, and the other one standing over there threw the other pot. The song leader caught the preacher's pot, and the pot, that didn't sound good. He caught the other. I leaned over to my wife and I said, they gonna bring the snakes out. And I said, when they do, I'm out of here. But you know what? There's something about that, son, that got a hold of me. I mean, that presence of God was so real in that place. And that little skinny preacher, he could have hid behind that microphone right there. That little skinny preacher got up with a flat top, boy. I mean, son, he had him a flat top. And he stood up there and preached. He preached about hell for about 45 minutes. And then he started on the cross. My soul. Strong message. I don't know what they're singing. But when they gave that invitation, down the aisle I went. Right there on that side. And I got down there and a few people got down around me. Some was telling me to hold on. Some was telling me to turn loose. Some was beating me in the back. I thought they was going to dislodge my lung. One feller, they'd been going on a long time. I didn't know there's a whole lot of other people, but I was there in that altar, and I'd been there longer than they thought I should, I guess. And one guy got down beside me, and he said, son, he was a preacher. He said, son, you believe that Jesus died and rose again, don't you? And I thought, what a dumb question. I mean, if I hadn't believed that, I wouldn't have been there. Amen. But I said, yes, sir, I believe that. He said, that's all there is to it, boy. You just stand up and tell everybody that you're saved. My little wife, we was both 17 years old. Sue leaned over to me. She said, don't you move till God saves you. Amen. At that time, she had never read her Bible through.
She had never been inside a Bible college. She didn't know how the why, fors, and the whereases and all that stuff. But she knew, son, that something supernatural had to take place. You don't just, hey, anybody can say, I believe. Amen. Anybody can say, I'll tell you, something's got to happen right here. You gotta get a heart knowledge. Let me give you this. It's a simple message, a strong message. It's for the saints. Preacher, don't ever draw back on preaching about the cross. So, well, all my church, all my people, they know, don't ever hold back on preaching the cross. It's for the saints.
Amen.
One year, somebody told me one time that when your church gets clogged up and God ain't moving and something's wrong, they told me, he said, there's either two things, he said, there's two things that'll help in a situation like that. He said, you either going to have to preach on sin and really plow it up, or you can preach on the cross. And said, one of those two messages will work, and it'll get this thing unclogged, where you can have meeting. And you know what? I took a year, 52 Sundays, I stood behind my pulpit, and I preached on Calvary. 52 Sundays, neighbor, preached on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
It don't grow old. Right after that, had an evangelist come by, and revival broke out in our church. It lasted for over 3 years.
Amen.
Preaching the cross will work, son.
Amen.
It stirs my heart. I'll tell you something else. It's for the sinner.
Amen.
Christ and Him crucified, taking the sinner's place, paying the sin debt. You talk about good news from a far country, son, to an old hell-bound sinner who's been everywhere and done everything. His back's to the wall. He's hanging on for dear life. He can feel himself sinking into the pit of hell. But you start preaching him Calvary, and the Calvary covers it all. And the Calvary will give him a new life. That's good news, son.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you this. The gulf over hell was bridged at Calvary.
Amen.
Jesus is the way in. He's the way out. And He's the way up.
Amen.
The only way.
Amen. Amen.
And if you ever set foot inside that golden city, neighbor, it's going to be because you believe the gospel message of His death, His burial, His resurrection, and you repented of your sin. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. I sure didn't mean to preach this long, brother. I'm sorry. But I enjoyed myself. If you ain't saved today, you can get saved this morning, or this afternoon, or whenever. You can get saved right now in this service. His precious blood that was shed on that old rugged cross, neighbor, will wash away every stain of sin. What He did there at Calvary is a free gift. But you've got to receive it, neighbor. He's not going to force it on you. You've got to trust Him. Trust His shed blood, repent of your sin, and God will save your soul. These ladies are going to sing. Our heads are bowed. I'm going to pray with you in just a minute. There might be somebody here today that's wandered off. Maybe not in deep sin, but just out of touch. Been a long time since you felt that breeze of heaven blow in your heart.
Why don't you come today and get on this altar? Say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. And I want my heart to be right with you. Many of you have friends and families that are so desperately lost. You ought to come today with tears in your eyes and your heart broke and beg God to save them. Our Father, I ask you to move now in the invitation. You know who, and you know where, and you know what. I just ask you to deal, Lord, as only you can. In Jesus' name.